I tease my wife. And some of you say, how can she put up with me? Beats the fire out of me, but she does. I may find out later she doesn't. I don't know to do that. If you're taking notes, humor me that you are. Title of my message tonight is Just Say No. Just Say No. Now, I know that's taken from a drug slogan, but I thought, well, it'll fit what I want to give you tonight. I want to get as practical as I can with you on that. This could be counterproductive for me because I told the students out at Norris and Crown College the other day, I could not do my job. I'm still figuring out what that is without people to help me. And many times you tell me yes, and I appreciate that. So you can forget this message when you leave, okay? But that's a backhanded way of saying thank all of you for all that you do to help me accomplish what I need to accomplish, okay? Somebody has said, think about it, the words yes and no. The words yes and no are small but powerful words. Two of the shortest answers we can give, yet should have the most thought behind them. Let me say it again. Yes and no. Small, powerful words. Two of the shortest answers we can give, yet probably should have the most thought behind them. Can you remember when you said yes to some things? Life-changing. Peggy chased me down for 3 years and begged me to marry her, and I finally said yes. Life-changing. 43 years in April, if we make it that far, and I just got the look. You men understand the look? Okay, just got it. Some 24 years ago, I said yes to come to Texas to start a Bible college. That took some thought. I took some time. I didn't take much time on the other. It's life-changing. How did a Yankee wind up in Texas? Some of you are wondering that yourself. You too, Frank. We said yes later on in marriage to children. That's life-changing. And although we're done with our part, our kids keep having them, and eighth grandchild's here. Change your life. Oh, but praise the Lord, in 1965, I said yes to Jesus Christ. And my life's never been the same. Yes and no. Listen, saying no, and that's going to be my emphasis there. We talked yes, but saying no can be a time saver. I want you to listen to this. It'll help you out. Okay. By the way, did you ever agree to something right away and wish that you didn't? Raise your hand. Somebody come and you just, without thinking, and then later on you mumbled to yourself, why did I agree to do that? Anybody at home like me on that one? But this is, I don't know who wrote it, but I like it. It's called In Praise of No. No may be the most efficient time saver in the English language. What it lacks in grace is more than offset by its brevity. You don't equivocate when you say no, though you may risk offense. Used with discretion and appropriate garnishes, no can save you hours of time. No returns responsibility to its rightful owner. No enables you to focus on your priorities. No protects you from your own good heart. Do not scorn the pungent clarity of no. It can be your ticket to success. Listen, learn to say no. And I'm going to give you some specifics of what to say no for. But you know, if you say no in the right way, in the right spirit, you don't have to give a reason. Now, many people do if I ask them to do something. Let me just give you a simple in-church example. I have the breakfast coming up for Easter. Believe me, you don't want me cooking breakfast. I could pour cereal in a bowl. I could serve donuts. And so Dana Trowbridge has done that for me before. And Dana politely said, no, I have family coming in. Do I put a skull and crossbones by Dana's name and say, never ask her again? No, that was a good no. Family. asked Barb Maxwell, "Barb, could you do breakfast for me?" She said politely, "No, I'm going to California to see my kids. Family." Anything wrong to saying no because it's family? Are you with me? There's the president calling me. Just tell him I'll call him later. Get it. I want to talk about no tonight. Go to chapter 39, Genesis. I ask you to be there, so you should be there. Before we do, I want you to write down a couple other things. I want you to think about it. Oh, by the way, I found out a lot of people don't like to hear no. What's the first word your kids hear? Growing. No. That's not a bad word. In fact, you say it enough, they say no. Or we say, that's a no-no. I find wives sometimes don't like to hear no because we say, it's not in the budget. Do I have an amen, fellas? I find sometimes church members don't like to hear no because they want their way all the time. I better get off that. But write this down. I heard it. Brother Wood was here, and it's all going into where I'm going here today. We have a right to make choices. Would you write that thought down or put it on steel? We have a right to make choices. God did not make us a robot. Because, see, we choose between yes and no. Amen? We have a right to make choices. But here's the problem. We don't have a right to choose the consequences of that choice. That makes sense to you? Let me say it again. We have a right to make choices. God did not make us a robot. We can choose yes and we can choose no. But we do not have the right to choose the consequences of our answer, yes or no. You see, that's one of the big things I see with all of us, but particularly young people. We never think of the consequences of our decisions. We want things now. We want to do it now to please the flesh. We never think of the consequences. I'll touch upon that in a moment. We're going to look at some Bible characters, praise the Lord, that said no. Genesis chapter 39, and all these stories you're familiar with, so I don't have to give you a lot of material behind the before and after. Verse 6, chapter 39, we see Joseph. You remember now Joseph has been actually second in command in a sense. Potiphar has put him in his house in charge of everything. Verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hands. That's Potiphar. And he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. Rather blunt, wasn't she? Kind of like today. Rather blunt. But look at verse 8. But he what? Refused. He said what? Said no. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me, the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And we understand every time we sin, ultimately, it's against God. I'm glad, and the first point we're saying here, Joseph said no to temptation and sin. And we need to say no to temptation and sin. Unless your head's been in the sand in the last day or two, you're aware of a governor of New York. And listen, this is not a political thing. It's not a Republican or Democrat thing. And by the way, we our heart ought to be heavy for him. Because I want to tell you, except by the grace of God, there go you and I. The Bible says, take heed lest you fall. But you know, he didn't say no to sin and temptation. Every once in a while, I'm able to get on the internet. That's a stroke of luck for Mr. Tommy Technoke here. But I pulled something off the internet on the situation. He said this, for the past few days, I have begun to atone for my private failings with my wife, Silda, and my children, and my entire family. You see, he never thought of the consequences. It didn't just affect him. And if we don't say no to sin and temptation, it affects more. The consequences are there. And then he said this, "The remorse I feel will always be with me." Does that sound a little familiar? David, the man after God's own heart, one day didn't say no to temptation and sin. And in Psalm 51:3 said, "For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sins are ever before me." Ladies and gentlemen, we need to say, like Joseph, say no to temptation and sin. Turn please to Daniel chapter 1. Again, familiar verses, but truth here. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. You know the story. Belshazzar, Jewish, are captives because they've disobeyed God. They've said no to God, by the way. In verse 4, he wants them to bring the best, the cream de la cream, if you would please, into the kingdom. He is going to conform them to the worldly culture of Babylon. And he says, "You go out and bring the best teenagers you can bring." And they do so. And he's going to conform them, change their environment, change their name, and change their diet. Daniel and the other three Hebrew children didn't have much about they could do about changing their name or where they were since they were captive, but they could say no to something. Verse 8, you're familiar with it. They wanted him to eat the king's diet. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Ladies and gentlemen, that's where no starts, is in the heart. Out of it, the Bible says, are the issues of life. How's your heart tonight? But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would, here's the negative, here's the, he would what? Not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Joseph said no to temptation and sin. Daniel said no to the world. Oh, by the way, I mentioned they changed their names. Daniel's name, by the way, means God is my judge. The other three we'll meet in just a little bit. Hananiah, God is gracious. Michael, his name is who is God or godlike. Azariah means helped of Jehovah. All had a name of a witness for God. And so Daniel said, you know what? They may change my name, but they're not going to change my character. And listen, say no to the right things. God will bless. He blessed Joseph, didn't he? Now Joseph went through some trials after that. But listen, the story wasn't finished. God blessed Joseph to come on the scene. You know the story about Israel. God blessed Daniel and put him one of the three top commanders. And you know the story of Daniel. Because Daniel said no to the world. Look at the blessing, verse 15. Chapter 1 of Daniel. Remember they had a little eating contest. Let's see who's going to look the fairest. Verse 15 says, "And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fair and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat." God will honor us to say no to the wrong things. Amen? To do it. Now turn over just a couple of chapters. We have some other men. I've given you their Jewish name and what they mean. You'll remember the story here. Chapter 3. The king got a little stuck on himself. By the way, we better watch that. He said, "Why did this governor do that?" Well, I think part of the reason is I think sometimes we get so prideful and arrogant that we think we get above the law. I've known some pastors that way, to think it can't happen to me because I'm just... Well, Nebuchadnezzar kind of got stuck on himself and he built, had a big statue built. And of course they're out after, and by the way, you know who gets the victory here, going back to the giving, you know who's having fun? Satan is an accuser of the brethren. I don't know if the man's saved or not. Hope that he is. But it's the crowd that hates the Christians are having the gleeful time. And those that didn't like these men because they were Christian and took a stand and said, no, they said, everybody needs to bow down. There was a test coming. And three young men said no. They said no. Look at verse 17. By the way, there are some things we don't have to pray about if we know it's wrong. Amen? If we in the Word of God and the Word of God's in us, we know there are things that we don't have to pray about because God's already told us what to do. Amen? And so they come to him, and verse 17, they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver." Now let's go back to verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that's the Babylonian names that were given, answered and said to the king, they have to give an answer. "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter." Let me paraphrase. We don't have to think about this one. It's a, what do we call it, a no-brainer. What did they want to do? He wanted them to bow down to idol. And if the Jewish people were taught anything, it was idolatry. We're not careful to answer. We don't have to go back and pray about that thing. Verse 17, "If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king." What a great faith statement. We're not bowing down. Joseph said no to temptation and sin. Daniel said no to the worldly things. And here the three Hebrew children said no to idol worship. And they said, verse 18, look at it, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not," there's our no, saying no, "not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I told you God honors saying no to the right things. And you know the rest of the story? Even the old king looked in there and he said, "Help me out here. Didn't we put three in there?" I'm paraphrasing tonight. And he said, "There's a fourth in there, like the Son of God." God honored them, and he even became a companion with them in the furnace. Now I want you to turn, please, to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Jesus Christ, our Savior, said no. Jesus Christ, our Savior, said no. Again, a familiar portion, but we will read. Chapter 4, verse 1. By the way, watch out, especially after a great victory. Satan is really there. Watch out when you're weak. You'll tend to want to say yes instead of saying no. Remember, Jesus was God, but he was man. Verse 1, chapter 4. "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil." By the way, that's who is behind it all. "And in those days he did eat nothing. When they were ended, he afterward hungered." Satan's going to try to get him in a weak moment. "And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread." Satan likes to put in that if, that doubt. Amen? He knew he's hungered. He appealed to that hunger. That hunger, you know, "You, if you be the Son of God, command." But I love what the Lord said, verse 4, "And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written." By the way, you know why some of us can't say no? We're no more in the Word of God than the man in the moon. Now, I know Jesus is the written Word, and he's the living Word. But he fought. He taught us how to fight the battle and how to say no with the Word of God. He said, "It is written," amen, "that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the every word of God." "And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If that thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine." Aren't you glad Jesus said no here? "Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me." That's pretty good. Satan, get behind. Get out of here. "Satan, for it is" what? "Written." By the way, run your check here. Recording from the book of Deuteronomy. "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Strike two, Satan. No to that. Verse 9, strike 3. You play a little baseball? Coming up. And he brought him to Jerusalem. He set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. Now he quoted from Psalm 91:11, but that old rascal knows the Bible better than we do. He just left a few words out. Yea, hath God said. He's still working that same thing he worked back in the garden. Amen. If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Watch my lips. No. You ever work with somebody and you tell them no, and you say to them, what part of no don't you understand? The name will remain nameless to protect the guilty, but I had a couple in the fellowship that was that way. They came to me wanting to do something. And I work for Dr. Barber. He signed my paycheck. Amen? They wanted to do something contrary to what I knew Dr. Barber didn't want. I said, no. Did it anyhow. He'll pay for it. Just free. Verse 13. Some of you are trying to figure out who that is. Don't forget it. You know. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, now watch this. This is for free. He departed from him for good. Is that what your Bible says? He departed from him for a season. Ladies and gentlemen, we may get rid of him for a while, but he's going to come back another way. Oh, Tennessee Ernie Ford. You remember him? How many remember Tennessee Ernie Ford? He sung that song, 16 tons and more. I won't sing it. And one of those lines was, if the right one don't get you, then the left one will. Satan will come after you again and again. Listen, what did Jesus say no to? He said no. 1 John 2:15-17. He said no to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. How was he able to do it? Somebody as well said, stand by the word of God. And the word of God will stand by you. Amen. And last thought, some of you are wondering if I was going to be as long as Brother Henderson. Beats the fire out of me, but I'm just about done. Hang on. Listen to it. Because Jesus said no, we can say yes to him. Let's stand to our feet, please. Bow our heads, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. It'll be a different kind of message, but that's all right. I'm a different kind of guy. But hopefully you've got the truth of what I've tried to preach to you tonight. Is being willing to say no to temptation, to sin, to the world, to idols. Oh, you say, oh, Brother Rachel, I'm safe from that one. I have no idols. Oh, really? Let me look at your checkbook. Let me look at your checkbook. I might find your idol, but I think you might know what it is. And like Christ, no to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. Tonight, as we have an invitation, I really don't know how to give an invitation except to say to you, maybe you need to come and ask God to give you the courage to say no to some things. Maybe you're facing a decision tomorrow. Or maybe you need to say yes. As God would lead you. Maybe you need to come and ask God to give you wisdom there. Maybe there's somebody that came in tonight and you've said no to Christ. You've rejected him. Can I tell you that's the worst answer you can give Christ? He loves you. He's died for you. And as he said to Israel, his hands are stretched out still. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, as we sing, if God speaks to you, you come tonight. Mm-hmm.